We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, May 22nd. Recording a little late today because Roy had some errands to run.
Hey, man, they ain't errands, brother. I'm not working, man. I just went out to Caldwell, picked up a listing on my way back. I had somebody sign call on my other listing in Caldwell, and I had a buyer who hasn't even gotten to closing yet sending me referrals like, bro, and I got a round of golf in today. One of the better Thursdays in a long time.
It's always a good Thursday when you get out on the golf course. I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. And we've got, oddly enough, a good bit of stuff to get into, despite the current state of Aggie athletics, which I saw we may have to address with a question later.
Right. I'm thinking, so yeah, we got plenty of baseball and softball to talk about. But before we get into that, ironically, we're going to kick off with a little basketball talk.
We're going to get into Buckyball because everything's been so negative about Aggie sports in this entire Aggie sports calendar year. And it's been absolutely just terrible. We're jumping from the cliffs. We're burning our diplomas. I melted my ring down so I could get a gold tooth. Like that's where we're at here. Right. But while I don't want to be the, well, there's always next year, because we're all sick of that crap at Aggieland. And I understand that. There are still some positives that we can look at. And I feel like starting with Buckyball is a good thing. We just picked up another transfer. And so at this point, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have 9 transfers in. And these are guys that obviously understand who they're going to play for in the system he's in. And there's some guys with proven at mid-major levels. We got Kansas, USC, Tech, Texas, NC State, Sanford, Indiana, Kansas, and Northern Alabama. That's where these are coming from, all right? And there's a pretty salty program names in there relative to what he's bringing in. And I was up at Texas Aggs this morning doing the fan show talking with Luke Evangelist. And if you don't follow Texas Aggs, Luke Evangelist, he's not an intern, but he doesn't quite have his green staff only button yet. But he's like, he nerds out on basketball. Like he's a fantastic part of their team. And obviously he's tracking everything with Buckyball. And when a guy like Luke is excited about transfers, it's okay to be excited about a transfer. And we had one dude, we had Chris McDermott. That was the only guy on the roster. Right. Bucky walks in. He's got 1'6'7" forward. That's kind of it.
Can't do much with that.
He could be the greatest 6'7" forward in the face of the planet, but quite frankly, it's asking a little much 1-on-5. Unless we take him to like AAU basketball, maybe, or maybe like 12 and under leagues. I don't know. It'd probably have to be even worse than that. But, and that's not a knock on him. Just 1-on-5 is, he'd have to be playing on a playground, man. Right. But like the playground where they still have the Rocco horsies, like that playground.
Favorite kind of playground.
Get that out of here. But so, another transfer picker from USC, he's a forward, 6'8", graduate guy, decent numbers, good field goal percentage, almost 40% behind the arc. What's funny is I keep looking at these and I see the free throw percentages. I want to run down these right quick down the list of transfers in. Here's the free throw percentage for all these guys. 79.1. Oh, I didn't get one. 79.1, 81. I'm guessing when they don't list it, it's probably not great.
Probably
81, not. 67.5 and 74. And I got to be honest, coming from Buzzball, those percentages excite me.
I mean, anytime you're making 4 or 5 of your baskets, that's a good sign, right?
Oh, no, these are free throws.
That's what I'm saying, free throws.
Yeah, like if you're shooting north of 50, you will be an improvement.
Right.
So we might see, and it could be at a 72% clip, and it will feel like we're shooting 90% from the charity stripe. How many games were we at 52, 56% from the stripe? Awful.
Well, and how many of those games were won and lost strictly because of that charity stripe, you know?
Exactly. So I'm excited for Buckyball. I wanted to talk about just a little bit, it's 2, 4, 6, 8 had 9 transfers out, and for him to go out and find some guys. And the thing is, Buckyball is going to be exciting, even if we lose. And I don't mean that to set like an expectation or like manage expectations, because you know what my expectation is slash prediction is we make the tourney next year. I think he plays an exciting enough brand of ball to where, again, in the SEC, you can finish 8th, 9th, 10th, and you're gonna make the tourney. All of a sudden, SEC basketball being kind of the juggernaut that it turned into, you don't have to be top 3 or 4 in the league.
No, and on top of that, I mean, this is the new era of recruiting and the new era of NIL, where you can go and get those key pieces that you need to succeed right out the gate, and you can start building a team around that of experienced guys, not just freshmen. You know, it's like you're coming in to get these dudes and put them to work, and ideally, we'll see these guys rock and roll, play some exciting basketball, you know, competitive in the SEC, and honestly, a team nobody wants to deal with.
Yeah, it's like that high tempo, pesky, but you're all it's not just you need to score 110 every night to win. It's obnoxious defense as well. So I don't even want to see a printout of his conditioning program. It literally might give me a heart attack just reading it. And if nothing else, I'll pull a hamstring reading it. But so I think there should be a lot of excitement. But obviously right now where we're at in the calendar, it's not getting as much attention, which is why we wanted to talk about it.
It reminds me of that scene from Miracle early on, talking about this entire workout regiment that they're doing, and said, "We may not be the best team at Lake Placid next fall, but we will be the most conditioned."
Yeah. Again, tweet again, tweet again. That
Again,
was, yeah, I gotta be honest, that scene was almost tough to watch.
yeah, I mean, I counted it up. It was 21 times that they had to do that relay,
Whoa.
which, I mean, hell, I mean, I'm not much of a skater myself, but I can almost guarantee doing that a couple of times would have me winded, much less 21 times.
Yeah, it's
These
like,
are, you know, professional college athletes, you know.
yeah, that's like the old fourth quarters we used to run in football, man. They're back in there and they just wouldn't stop blowing the damn whistle.
Yeah, gotta keep on blowing that whistle.
You want to know why they keep blowing the whistle, though? It's because of them lollygaggers.
Try it.
I just had to squeeze that word in somehow.
Take a salt tablet.
Yep. Okay. I remember those. So, but yeah, just wanted to open with something, moderately positive. And obviously there's some other positive stuff going on right now, but I didn't want to open it up and be like, hey, welcome to the podcast.
Right.
Yeah. So, but speak okay. But speaking of that.
Pivoting.
Yeah, pivot. Oh, softball. That is one of the more disappointing outcomes I can think of, kind of in sports, in Aggie sports, much less Aggie softball. Kudos to a Liberty team that could mash, but I thought that was just the epitome of basically this entire university being built over an Indian burial ground.
Which does beg the legitimate question that's been asked across the internet, mind you, not just amongst Aggies, but amongst like all of these talking heads across the deal. Is A&M cursed? You have to wonder, because I mean, consider what took place this season. If you look across all of our major sports, you know, football takes care of business against LSU. We're riding high. We're top 10, what, 7-1 in the country at that point. Whatnot. I think that's where we were at. You lose 4 of your next 5. And all of a sudden, you miss out on a playoff spot because you couldn't beat, you know, you couldn't score an offensive touchdown against your bitter rival at home. That sucks. All right. Scoot up the line a little bit. Basketball, women just didn't bother showing up all season. I don't know what the heck
There weren't
happened
that
there.
many to show up either.
Yeah. It's like, what on earth happened there? Basketball, off to a rip-roaring start. Had some good moments there, was looking pretty solid. Not much took place in the tournament. There were some letdown moments. And the coach ends up running off, which, I mean, amongst some of the fan base, they'll tell you, yeah, is probably okay.
Yeah, so Buzz leaving, it's just one of those things where the Buzz hire, it depends on who you talk to. I don't know that it was necessarily a splash hire, but I thought it was a really good hire relative to the program we have at A&M.
Right. No
We're
question.
just not a basketball school. We generally don't care about it. You have to win for us to show up.
And yet,
I thought it was a really good hire, had a solid track record. And what's funny is he moved on about the same time that he moved on from all his other schools. So it was almost, if you look back at his history, he did exactly what we should have expected him to do.
and on top of that, previous to that, you had Billy Kennedy, who, well, obviously was getting raked over the coals, but man, the dude had his moments. You
Yeah,
know?
it's well, and you would talk about like, are we cursed? I would never throw a basketball into that, honestly.
Sure. But let's flip it over to baseball real quick, right? You make it all the way to the national title. You win the first game. You're in the driver's seat. And then over the next 2 days, slips away. Coach runs off, takes most of the staff with him. And then you come back and everybody's all super hyped and you're still like number one preseason. And yeah, were we mi you know, was there a misanalysis there? Probably. But we come over in here and we've shown many times throughout the season we have our moments. We can go out there and beat the top dogs. I think that's the big one for me. A&M has those moments where they will beat the big competition and more or less solidify in the thought process that you have a chance to be that next level program. And then a Missouri series happens. South Carolina game happens. Auburn game happens.
This program plays to its talent.
It's craziness.
It plays to its opposition's talent. And I've never seen anything, honestly, like you hear about that and it happens from time to time, but it's an entire season of literally playing either up or down to your talent. That's kind of where we've been. And so, and no matter what happens, I said it this morning, the albatross around our neck will always be that Missouri series. The Texas series is not the albatross. It's the number one team in the country. And if you can take off, like with your maroon glasses on, awful, miserable, just punch a hole in the wall kind of crap, right? But if you can look at it objectively, if you were a committee member, you go, man, they went on the road and they basically lost the series by 3 runs over 3 games. You know, that's what it felt like, right? Almost felt like the national championship series we had last year where we lost the whole thing by 1 run. So you're competitive, you're on the road. And so, if you can look at it objectively, the Texas series is not one to really be down in the dumps about. It would have been great to pick up one, but even if you picked up one in Austin, you still got swept at home by Missouri. That's going to be the worst one. And that we've had some bad in-conference losses, we've had some bad out-of-conference losses. We'll get to baseball. We'll get to that analysis, but. Man, you start to feel cursed, but the reality is it's an athletic department that isn't serious about winning championships. Currently, they're serious about saving money. It's a fan base that because of, and let's call it multiple athletic departments, like we don't have the greatest track record for ADs, quite frankly. And you've got a fan base that has like it's a growing base of alumni
Oh, no question.
who generally tend to be very successful and have money they can give back, but they've become apathetic, man. The apathy is set in across sports. And when apathy sets in, like, hey, we gave you all this money for NIL and you did shit with it. Like, why would I give it to you again? Because give the worst investment in the world is throwing money, bad money after bad money.
Right.
So I get it, but it's of our own doing. This isn't a curse. It's of our own doing, and until we get to the point where the most influential ags, and it's not just with money, because there are ags that are influential that aren't the top donors, but they
Right.
have to have a seat at the table. Until we get rid of those ags, we'll never be successful, and it won't matter if we're able to raise a metric crap ton of cash for NIL. I mean, that'll help. But until they realize that you're not important enough to make decisions and you've got to stop trying to influence decisions with your money, we're always going to be where we're at now. And that's what it comes down to. And I get it. Like we should be thankful for these donors that build these stadiums and all this other crap. The reality is, it's no longer an arms race. This is the NIL era. This is not a stadium era anymore.
Right.
Have amazing player facilities and stick with everything else you got. Player facilities and NIL is where you're going to make your hay. And we can't seem to figure that out because the people that are still trying to pull strings, and I'll just say this, and I doubt any of them are listening to this shit anyways, you're too old. You're stuck in your ways, and your money isn't buying any championships because your attitude and your approach is trash. We're not cursed. We're screwed by the people that think that they deserve a seat at the table. And I can talk about that on the academic side too, I might add.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I was like, it smells a little Jerry Jonesy, you know? You know what
But
I mean?
we have like five Jerry Joneses.
Exactly. Exactly. It's worse. Because you got,
It's infinitely worse.
yeah, it's worse because you've got five people who don't necessarily agree on all the same things all the time. And there's always going to be a little back and forth there. And on top of that, it's just
Well,
un
and
well,
the
I
AP has to try to appease these people. And so there's a balancing act. And until we get an AD that walks in and goes, "Hey, thanks for your check." Yeah, no, sorry, that was the end of the conversation. Thanks for your check. Like, that's it. But this culture that we've developed over decades of letting these BMAs drive decisions with, man, I gotta be honest, bro, I don't care where you made your hundreds of millions. You know where you didn't do it in? The athletic industry. You know shit about how to run a team. You know shit how to build a roster. You know shit how to hire a coach. And so all of this compiles on, it just piles and piles up. And the reality is that's why we're stuck where we are. If there was an Indian burial ground when they redid Kyle and dropped the field, we would have found it. All right. We would have found Babe Ruth jersey kind of thing, right? It's a culture from the biggest donors. And it sucks because there are so many schools that have a bunch of big donors that know their place. Here at A&M, we don't. And that's really, to me, I think that's where it comes down to the culture we build the athletic department. Because, like, we're running through ADs, we're running through coaches. What's the constant, right? What's the common denominator in all of this?
the
And
leadership.
it's the leadership, and it's not at these guys are the ones hiring the ADs. It's shit, it's really not even the board. It's the big money ags shoving their way into situations and shoving their nose. Well, I ran a business, I started a business, I ran a whole business, it's a Fortune 500 company. How many coaches and did you hire and how many like did you run an NIL program? Because back in the day, before, when you were in the flip phone era, the NIL didn't exist.
Did you see the graph? I couldn't believe it when I saw it. The graph of the severance payouts across the SEC.
I'd rather not talk about that.
How ins I mean, that's pure insanity to me, man.
Hey, we're winning, baby.
We're
Which
winning.
means losing.
We're winning. But
Yeah,
losing, but
we're
winning.
winning the wrong,
Losing.
we're winning the wrong things.
Thank you for coming to this rant by Roy. It was brought to you by Shredder Designs. Don't just thread it, shred it.
There you go.
That's, hey, you know?
Also brought to you by Bach Realty Group.
Yes.
We're both paying sponsors.
The opinions of Roy May do not reflect.
Yeah, at any point in time.
The all opinions on this podcast are our own, although I do own Shredder Designs, so you know I endorse this stuff. It's fine. It's okay, people. It's
We
fine.
rank like
I will
two pet
say,
owners together.
I would say it just, I mean, I completely agree with you on that front. It just feels like there's some fundamental change that has to happen at the top because anytime that there is one thing that's sick and it's running around and everything else is getting sick and you're trying to blame it on those individual people, I'm telling you, man, it's not, there's always one common denominator in this situation and it's not great.
It is, but they've got too much money and at this point power to push them off their perk,
Unfortunately,
their
yes.
perch, excuse me, push them off their perch. And so we're going to be stuck in this loop for a while. And
Until somebody, Rick, you know, until somebody.
until somebody breaks through despite that.
Somebody share this clip with the leadership They don't know me. They
They
don't
don't
care about me,
have
obviously.
the
Baseball
last
Sarge was
time.
a thing. They don't care about me.
Be the last time I'm allowed on campus.
They'll find me, I'm sure. I'm about to be a very famous
Oh,
Aggie one of these years.
they have ways.
They have ways. I'm just a peon that's occasionally on Tex Aggs and likes to post about crap on Twitter and play music. That's what my whole freaking
I
shindig.
just, I just. That's. I mean, that's. I can't think of any other reason because obviously I don't believe in curses, right?
Well,
And
yeah.
so for me, it's just like I saw the New York Rangers win a Stanley Cup, right? They were cursed. No, they weren't. They won a Stanley Cup. It's just that, but they, everything in the organization, they were all pulling the rope in the same direction.
Right.
And this is where we run into issues. And that's probably the most upsetting part of all of it, is that it just feels like everybody wants to put their mark on it. And that's not how this works. It's a tug of war, and it's like it's got a ring in the middle, and we have probably like 8 to 10 ropes going in every direction, and everybody's pulling it. And in the middle of that ring, there are no trophies. It's not like they're equally pulling to sustain this over over a center point of success in championship level teams and programs. They're all pulling it because they won. They won. It's my way. And so it's frustrating, man, but it's the culture we've built, and that's to me, and I could be completely wrong, quite frankly, but to me, that's like you said, it's the common denominator. If you keep changing everything, right? Like, bro, if you get divorced 5 times,
You're the only reason why these divorces are
like at
happening, brother.
some point you gotta look in the mirror and be like, you know what? Maybe it wasn't her.
Okay, time out. I'm gonna share a quick bit. This is a Ron White classic. So he's out there in Louisiana and he's talking about what's the fort over there in like Western Louisiana?
Oh, Polk.
Polk, yeah, okay.
The
So
mosquito breeding ground of the United States, unofficially.
Roy was touring right over there by Fort Polk, and he was talking about Fort Polk, being like, 40,000 men on the base, and some lady in the front row yells, "Every one of them's a bad screw," right? And he's like, "After 39,000 times, maybe it's me. Maybe I should read a book."
Pretty much.
At some point, there has to be a recognition that, man, maybe we're the problem and we need to find a better solution than what our problems are. Now,
Yeah, except in this case right now, we're the only ones getting screwed.
unfortunately,
Man.
yes. So let's swing it back to softball real quick.
All right. Yeah.
I think it's obviously unfortunate. I hate the fact that we lost the Series Liberty. If we're being completely objective, those 3 games were awesome. That was great softball. There was some mistakes that happened. There was high stakes. We made our fair share of mistakes. Liberty had shots to do their thing. We had shots to do our thing. We just didn't pull it out.
I will say they were entertaining.
They were entertaining, but gut-wrenching for us, of course. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction for next season. We're going to UVA the hell out of this situation. We're going to lose in the first round. We're going to run the whole thing back next year.
Well, and that's kind of where I wanted to get into softball a little bit, just talking about, the transfer portal as it pertains to
Exactly.
softball.
Segue.
So let's start with who we're losing, right? So we unfortunately lose Coco, who replacing her glove alone is going to be a monumental task. Obviously, M is gone. We lose an Ojo, Emily Levitt in the circle.
Emily Kennedy. Oh, I mean
Oh,
Kennedy's
yeah, I
out.
said M. Oh, yeah, Emily Kitty. Yeah, I
Yeah,
just call
M.
her
Sorry.
Emily Levitt. Obviously, Mac Barber's out of eligibility, which is a damn shame. Allie Enright's going to be a big hole to fill, and Kramer Eshte, it'll be tough. As of right now, though, as of this podcast, only Harley Vestal has transferred out. And so let me just run you through the names that we have coming back. And remember, Trisha Ford can do some damage in the portal. I mean, Mac
No
Barber
question.
was Pac-12 Player of the Year. So keep
Right.
in mind that she's probably already been hunting, but there are names out there. But So coming back, we've got I'll kind of go through the names that people will recognize, right? So Sidney Lessentine, who I think will be our next Emily Kennedy. We've got Frankie Vrazel, who I think is a fantastic utility player and is gonna have to pick up an outfield spot. We lost Enright and Eshte, but Frankie Vrazel played as a true freshman quite a few games in the outfield. I got KK DeMint, who is going to be an absolute star. DeeDee Baldwin behind the plate. She needs to develop into not a freshman is probably a good way to put it. Kelsey Mathis, speed. She can play outfield. Sydney Peters in the circle. Scout Lovell, which we saw really on a pinch running basis for the most part, but she played a little bit. Maya Perez will be back. That's a massive one.
Huge.
Kennedy Powell will be back. Amari Harper will be back. Grayson Coleman behind the plate will be back. Grace Sparks will be back. So you're talking about a core of players that I know we're losing some talent, but you're talking about a core of players that you're bringing back that, as of right now, nobody else decided to transfer out. But generally, the ones that transfer out are ones that aren't seeing the field enough. And I mean, Harley Vestal, she played like three games, something like that. I mean, she didn't get a whole lot of playing time and she wants to play. I understand that.
Yeah, ne never knock somebody for that.
You're losing some production, but to have Kennedy Powell and Amari Harper back is huge as seniors because that's senior leadership, along with Grace Sparks. I don't know if she'll be the biggest, leadership kind of piece. But Grayson Coleman's kind of the same way. She'll be a senior. I don't know about where she is, but being behind the plate, it's easy to find a leadership role.
So,
I forgot Kate Munnerlyn, the other freshman pitcher. She'll be back.
Nice.
And then you got KK DeMint, who's a monster. Frankie Vrazel showed some real splashes this year. And then you got Sidney Lessentine coming back. So, like Lessentine and Munnerlyn alone gives you what could turn into a 1-2 punch. It's just, again, they were freshmen, So, and they still performed.
Well, and see, I think that's the beauty of the situation, right? Because, one of the bigger things, obviously, when you're losing, M and whoever else, right? It's like we were talking about it preseason. What was the big question mark? Was going to be pitching. Like could that maintain?
Who's the number two? Yeah,
Yeah,
behind him, who's number two?
right, who's number two? And the fact that you could develop a young pairing, maybe you bring in like one junior or senior out in the transfer portal just to fill out a slot.
Well, and that LSU pitcher's on the market too. So I'll be
Exactly.
interested to see if we're in the mix for that because I still think that Sidney Lessentine and Kate Munnerlyn, if we bring that LSU girl in, I don't think they would have any problem with that.
Well, I have a feeling she would like to pitch in that type of environment, especially after getting swept. She can understand the benefit of playing somewhere like that, like somewhere like A&M, because this fan base isn't going anywhere. Yeah, it sucked. Yeah, there were some comments made, one way or the other about it, which, once again, anybody trashing Trisha Ford about this stuff needs to chill.
Well, the people that trash Trisha Ford are the same people that trash other people for no reason. It's just you're
Right.
never going to get them to chill. But
Right.
yeah, so obviously a massive disappointment, but it's done. It's over with. I pretty much won't watch softball minus the final series, the championship series. Softball is now officially dead to me.
Yeah. Moving on from softball. So,
The one
baseball.
team that's still playing.
Yes, our one team sport that we're holding on to. Track and field, I'm excited. You know what? They're both ranked number two right now. I think, was golf still going on?
Baseball's playing. We'll talk baseball.
Baseball is playing somehow. We are still alive. We have
I
rain out on Monday night.
love to track the other teams. I do. They wear blue and white. They're important to me, but baseball's still a big ticket item because softball's not playing, unfortunately.
Right.
Baseball's kind of where we're looking. And so the tournament has been goofy.
It has been extremely goofy. I mean, looking across the board at results, I mean, just as the tournament as a whole, I'm just gonna take a peek at these because it's been fascinating. So Florida absolutely smoked South Carolina. Kentucky's out early, which is creating a little bit of waves across people looking at the bubble right now. Granted, Kentucky unfortunately holds the all important head-to-head matchup at home, and that's tough.
That's the tough one.
Right. But Missouri being, I mean, yeah, them being out at this point, totally fine. South Carolina really didn't matter. We get rained out Wednesday, I guess. Yeah, we get rained out Tuesday night. You come out on Wednesday and you not only goose egg Mississippi State, but you put up 9 runs and you look good doing it.
Okay, hold on. Time out. It's like the most, again, the most Texas A&M thing ever.
Right.
To not figure out how to way to scratch, not figure out a way how to scratch the 10th run across and make it a short game.
But here's the beauty of the situation at the back.
Sorry.
You're fine.
And I'm not a BAS guy. Everybody knows
No,
that. I
fine.
am an official Sunshine Pumper.
I know. It's fine. I'm an
Well,
Aggie. I gotta admit, I'm more. I like to see myself as an Aggie realist. Like, yeah, I'm gonna get excited about some stuff, but I'm gonna recognize when there's problems, and that's where you're at. And I appreciate that. That's why this podcast works. We vibe that. But the thing is, A&M comes out and I mean absolutely smokes Mississippi State.
dude, they look so good. It looked like a team, and I was talking to my buddy Ryan.
That's a good Mississippi State team too. They
Well,
were
and
heating
yeah,
up.
and they were on a heater
Yeah.
coming into the tournament. I was talking to my buddy Ryan. I work with him, and baseball is his life. He coaches baseball. He played baseball. Everything. He's got a baseball brain all day, right? And he said it looks like the coaches finally figured out how to prepare them mentally for a game. Because physically, they have the tools. We know they have the tools.
I mean, and on top of that, I mean, this is win or go home at this point.
Yeah.
And every single one of them knows this. I mean, if you've listened to anything, and we generally like to lean on what D1 has to say because generally they're pretty on the money.
Because
Right.
Kendall Rogers is damn good at his job.
Yeah, he's very good at his job and an Aggie. But the guy, I mean, he's objective. He's looking at the situation. He says, after we won today, he said, A&M still needs to win tomorrow. And I'd say they probably at minimum need to get Sunday. And that is a tough ask, especially if you're starting to see some of these bubble teams potentially losing slots because all of a sudden Tulane wins today, beats
I saw that, and
UTSA.
I like I saw that. My first thought was shit.
Shit, literally, because that's a spot potentially. Now UTSA's not out yet. They have to win two. Actually, they have to win three. Because
Oh, that's the tournament set up.
they gotta beat Tulane twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
Well,
they're in losers bracket. There's still a chance.
oh, they do winners, losers bracket. Okay, I
Yeah,
got you.
they do win or losers like we used to. Which
Yeah.
honestly, quick aside, I don't hate this tournament setup.
I love single elimination.
It's
I'm
great. Perfect.
totally fine with it. Nobody 6 through 10 is ever going to win it, or 6 through 14 is ever going to win it because you burn through pitching,
Right.
but maybe someday.
Maybe something. I love it. I'm about it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I
so
just wish it rotated around campuses.
I agree. I was talking with a couple guys at the lounge about this because, I mean, we were looking at some of the other championship games, just as an aside, looking at some of the other championship games that were going on. The attendance of these things is piss poor. I mean, Globe Life Field might as well have not had anybody in there. I mean, we're talking like
Dude, look at
dozens,
Hoover.
dozens of fans.
Look at Hoover.
Yeah. Hoover's, yeah.
All you do is you rotate around. We're gonna hold on real quick. You rotate around campus to campus, and you do progressive pricing round by round. That way, locals who just want to go see some baseball can go get some cheap baseball tickets and go to the
Early,
park. You do progressive pricing round by round, and the seats will be full, I promise.
I agree. Well, and I mean, let's face it, just the idea of hosting an on-campus tournament is a big deal for the school and the town. Like, that's a benefit. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't like, I'm not sitting here trying to dig on Hoover, but
I am.
I mean, fair.
I don't like Hoover.
I know. And we've been ad nauseum about Hoover.
Oh, look, a rain delay.
Right.
Shocked.
Well, and I'm thinking, a spot that I would love if it was not on campus there? I want to go to like Nashville Sounds. I want to go to that stadium.
I want it to be on campuses,
I
and
prefer it on campus.
I think it should rotate around, but I think you have to take the Arthur Blank approach, and the SEC has to foot the bill and cheap concessions, cheap tickets.
Yeah. As it should be. And people from all over the freaking Southeast are going to come to that town.
Well, and that town alone will be like, you know what? The teams aren't playing, but it's $12 a ticket. Why not?
Why not? Yeah, just go and watch. I mean, hell, I'd do it. Shoot. If we were hosting games, like let's say renovated Bluebell Park holds the, let's say 10 grand, whatever it's going to be. When we're in that ballpark, I want to experience that because I want to see fans from all over the damn place at our home park. And they get, and if they've never had a chance to visit previous, they get to experience at least part of that. I love that.
Imagine if you get a chance to go up in the 203 and it's Texas and LSU. Bro, we're gonna have a great
We're
time.
gonna heckle them both.
Yes, it's gonna be amazing.
It'd be
All of the
amazing.
ball fives, all of them.
All the ball fives. Let everybody do it at that park. I don't care.
Yeah, and like triple up the bubble juice because you got a bubble in both too.
Because guess what? Bubbles will be loud in that ballpark. I'll tell you that much.
Damn right they will.
God, I'd say it's
All
just
right, so anyway,
wishful
sorry,
thinking. It's great things.
sorry,
But
I'm so sorry.
so yeah, Florida gets knocked out. So we'll see about their hosting chances. Georgia loses to Oklahoma. Fascinating. Now we took care of our business against Auburn today with an
Barely.
with yeah barely with a very unfortunate injury.
Devastating.
Devastating.
Your
Horrible.
last power hitter is done.
Right.
So going forward, we'll have to find a way to manufacture runs that don't go over the fence outside of Cade and Ken. So Early better be racking his brain for strategy because all of a sudden we got a whole bunch of either skinny, fast dudes that can't hit, or a really big dude that doesn't like to swing his bat. So,
I don't know who you could
yeah.
possibly be
Oh,
talking about.
God. So, but you give yourself a fighting chance with Myles Patton. We've beaten LSU, obviously. So it'll just be
He's beating LSU.
you've got to manufacture runs, and you've got to do it early. You've got to
Put them on their
keep them
heels.
off the board first inning, and you've got to get on the board first inning. And if not, rinse and repeat second. If not, rinse and repeat third. Once you get into the fourth and fifth inning, if it's still nothing, nothing, it's going to be tough.
What's gonna be tough? I mean, like we've mentioned it from the beginning. What was the issue gonna be in this tournament for us? It was gonna be pitching. I mean, yeah,
Well,
we've
anybody coming all the way through the bracket is pitching for any team. It is.
right. Yeah,
But
anybody, you know, that's
really for us.
I mean, well, especially for us, because we know the limitations of our roster at this point. And so and the injury list piles, and you're sitting here having to figure out how to score runs. I'm gonna have to see aggressive base running on the base pass. I want to see Terrence Keel out there just freaking people out. I'm gonna need to see some bunts. I hate that I just said that phrase, but I need to see some bunts. We're gonna have to get creative.
There's one guy on the roster that doesn't ever need to try to bunt ever again, ever in the history of mankind, ever, ever, ever. But
But he
bunts,
doesn't have to.
and you know what I really, really want to see is like a pure focus on the few guys that do get the shift, and again, outlaw the shift, make that into a hat.
Amen. I need to make that.
Just sit back and find a way to beat the shift. And I know this is like an old man yelling at class because I'm a Cal Ripken Jr. guy, but like hit it where they ain't.
Bunt it down the line.
That's all you got to do. How
Get him to scramble a little bit.
was it Hensler that gave that a shot the other day?
Think so. You gotta do
I
it.
love it. I love it.
You.
Great. Give it a shot, man. And so
Well.
it drives me absolutely batty. Like, this is to me, because to me it's fundamental baseball 101. If they're leaving they're leaving the entire left side of the infield open.
Where
There's
they hit.
nobody over there.
You hit it where they ain't.
Oh, just a swinging bunt, like just softball style. Slap that shit out there.
All right. I
You're,
mean,
I mean,
get
dude,
some
you play
contact.
baseball at Texas A&M. You have the ability to do this. I would just like to see you do it.
Your big goal at this stage of the game, get on base. If you
Pass
get
the
on
bat.
base, your next buddy gets on base, your next buddy gets on base. It doesn't matter. My favorite A&M baseball game of all time, where we absolutely, I mean, just being in attendance because it was incredibly fun. And it wasn't even like a super exciting game. We just blew the doors off of these guys. Year of our Lord 2016, we're playing against Wake Forest in the winner's game of the College Station Regional in 2016. And we beat the dog out of them. We beat them 22-2. And so much of that was fundamental, nice base hits, bunts down the line. the occasional big home run. I mean, Boomer White hit one that I'm pretty sure still hasn't landed. I mean, it literally landed on top of the wreck. It was a monster shot. And I mean, everybody was hitting. Everybody was getting in on the fun. We started chanting out of bubbles, clack, clack, because we had literally run out of bubble juice from the game. We were beating them so bad. And the thing is, that's all it takes. You just gotta string together some good, solid contact, get on base, get some, put it where they ain't.
It's past the bat. That's all it
That's the
is.
bat.
So, but tomorrow night, 6:30, LSU, we shall see.
And just a quick little note, our friends from Austin are heading home early. For
I
anybody
did
who's
see that. So Texas is what I saw in the game before I had to go to my appointment was Texas was really kind of well, and earlier, I guess at well, okay, let me back this up. At the end of my round when I sat down at the bar and they had it on the TV and I had a beer and then came home and had some time before my appointment. I played a 3.5 hour round today, dude. I didn't know those existed
that
still.
was fairly quick.
But caught the game and Texas was just kind of in control. It was like what 4-1, I think.
Yeah,
But
or four
Texas just
nothing
looked
at
like they
one
were
point.
cruising. It seemed like they left some runs out there, like on the pond. And then I come home, I checked the score. I was like, nice.
Okay.
Well, Tony Vitello will do anything to beat Schloss. I don't think he likes him very much.
Like I said, I think he's gonna be that guy for him. How Schloss was for us in the TCU days. I want Vitello to be that for him for the rest of his career.
Huge fan.
Way,
Huge
way cool
fan of
with
that.
that. Way cool with
Huge
that.
fan.
Let UT be the real UT.
Yep.
Let him
And
earn
then
that.
they can call them little brother.
Yeah, yes. And I fully endorse that because that's hilarious because it's absolutely true. University of Tennessee came way before Texas did.
And then in 3 years, drop a bag at Tony Vitello's feet and continue the tradition.
Oh my God.
I can beat
Could
you
you
with multiple.
imagine?
I can beat you with multiple teams. You're terrible.
Could you imagine if Tony got hired to Texas?
No, here.
Well, that's what I'll.
Not come here. We drop a bag on him so he can come here and keep beating Tony and keep beating Schloss.
Please tell me more.
Yeah. Because they
I
gave
mean,
him an
don't.
extension, it was like 3 or 4 years, and that's fine. And if I'd be willing to bet Tony's probably got another national title in him.
Here's the deal.
I honestly, as much as I pissed and moaned about him a couple of years ago, his assholeness is really growing on me. Like assholes. No, you know what? I'm not gonna use that. He's I love it.
Ooh.
Hey yo,
This is
continue.
damn near X-rated for that one.
Addies. But I like his fire, and I gotta be honest. He has toned down the childish antics a little bit. And so now he just kind of reminds me of one of those like mid to late 80s MLB managers. He's like a Lasorda. Like if you
Yes.
call somebody out, he's going to come out here. He's like literally going to kick dirt on your shoes. When he called out that entire umpiring crew, when he got ejected, he's like, "You're shit and you're shit." I was like, "You know what? You're right. He
They
speaks the
are.
truth."
Well, and I mean, here's my thing. I was right there with you. Like I said, looked at him a couple of years ago and oh God, couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand his teams more than anything, right? Because the antics, the crazy bat flips, the beating their chest, acting like they were something. And I tell you, the year that they got knocked out by NC State, oh, that was glorious.
Well, what's also funny though is and you listen to like what Tony talked about, when he was talking about Coach Early, he's like, I got away with a bunch of stuff because nobody gave a crap when I first got hired.
Right.
Like you can tell that year over year, Tony Vitello is actually just maturing. He's just growing up, But yeah, thrilled to see them go home. I am.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing him, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll
All right,
end
so we got some questions we got to rip through,
up.
right?
We do have some questions. All right. So, from Komodo John, he said, where does the entire A&M athletic department go from here? This entire year has just been in, I'm not going to say the last
Yeah,
word.
don't say that. Thank you.
I'm not,
That's
I
a
was
tough
not
question.
going there.
Yeah, no, it's been a train wreck. We'll call it that. How about that? And been like a high speed train wreck, like a high speed train, like bullet train wreck. Well, I think we kind of talked about it earlier. Hey,
Yeah, we already
this
know.
this athletic department's not going to go anywhere until things outside of the athletic department change. And so it won't matter what AD you hire, because the AD that gets hired is getting hired by the people that just want to maintain their own control.
It's very
And
true.
so if I'll put a positive spin on this, I feel good about football.
Sure.
I'm excited to watch Buckyball, whatever that's going to be. It sounds like it's going to be just an absolute hoot. Aggie softball, we talked about the returning production. Women's basketball, Joni Taylor's working in the portal,
Good.
and she's been known as not a very good recruiter, and she's kind of turning that narrative, or at least trying to turn it. Aggie volleyball, Jamie Morrison actually is, he pulled in a Serb, a chick from the Serbian national team. And if you know anything about volleyball, the Eastern
Big deal.
Europeans are badass. And so volleyball can be exciting again. Softball, we talked about the returning production. And obviously, so early in the transfer portal, we don't know who Trish Ford's landing on. And then in baseball, I'll bring one up to you. What if Jace comes back?
You know, that is a thought. I don't know if he will. I still think he's a top level draft pick, but I mean, I guess we'll see what happens.
Well, so here's my thought, though, and as one of the players' dads so succinctly put it, but it's going to take a boatload of NIL to keep Jace, and I don't know if there's enough NIL and enough in the war chest to keep Caden Kinn around.
I'd like to keep Caden Kinner. I like the kid.
He's just like ice in his veins. He's just like his dad. Like he
So
hits a grand
good.
slam. He hits a grand slam. He's like, yeah. Sweet. And yet Grohovac's basically said he's coming back. So what if Grohovac and Jace and Caden all get together and they're like, you know what? And we got Caden Sorrell. Like, we need to run this fucking shit back.
Well, and see, that's just it. Because I mean, the fact of the matter is, this team, they know what they're capable of. That core right there that you just mentioned, they know what they're capable of. They were all there last year. They were right there on the cusp. And yet, you know, they got a taste of that, and they definitely want to give it another shot. Not to mention some actual revenge this time, because Texas is coming here. But if we're being complete, I know that's not necessarily the be all end all of the situation. However,
Well, I
I would
hope
hope not. But you know, these boys, they got that dog in them. They're fighting for it.
Well, and if you look up and down the roster, what you're losing, Rager could come back again. He's a redshirt junior. And he, like Jace, and it's not necessarily their performance. Well, it's partially their performance, and then the team on top of it, they didn't do themselves any favors in the draft.
Not really, unfortunately.
And you've got Miles Patton that could come back. So you've got two-thirds of your rotation already there. And
And if
you would have,
Sadeo's healthy.
and if Sadeo gets healthy, and you've got Gavin and Caden and
That's a solid
Jace.
power hitter crew right there.
It's obviously a long shot and more of a pipe dream, but
Right.
I don't think it's as crazy of a pipe dream. If we can get some NIL ponied up, I don't think it is. I think it's a little closer to a chance than it is a hope. If we can get the NIL ponied up for Jace, Gavin, Caden, and both Sorrell and Kent.
So at this stage, question. So what are your thoughts on Early? Where are we sitting with him?
I'm just going to give him an incomplete. It'll be, I don't know, man. So we've got to make the championship game to even have a shred of hope to make the tournament.
Right.
Granted, that would mean we beat LSU again, and we
Right.
beat Auburn, and we beat a really hot Mississippi State team.
And
So
then
there,
we.
RPI does come into this as long as there's not any like just Cinderellas.
And if hypothetically we get to LSU, you get either number two Arkansas or number seven Ole Miss, who are both going to be touted opponents in this tournament, especially at that stage.
Yeah, they're also really good at baseball. So
Very good at baseball.
that's what I'm saying. If you can make the run and get to the championship game, your RPI is going to shoot through the roof.
Yeah.
It's just you need to win it.
Yeah.
So that I don't have the answer for. I just
Right
don't know.
now.
It's that Missouri series just looms so large. It's so unfortunate, but all
It is, but anyway.
right, let's stop being depressed. We have more questions,
All right, yeah,
right?
we do. We got Jonna. She gave us options. Three questions. Best breakfast food to celebrate at the end of the Premier League season.
Beer.
Beer, of course, beer. You
It's
start your morning with a glass of Guinness. Next.
a
Okay. How far will A&M realistically go in the tournament? We'll see how we do tomorrow, man.
what's weird is we were talking about this morning. I felt good about this game. I don't know why I felt good about the Auburn game. And I think with every, and I still don't feel good. And I'll echo Nuno on this. I still don't feel good or great about our chances to make the tournament. But with every game that passes, and again, it's a game by game, it's pitch by pitch at this point, man. But if we're able to beat LSU, then so it's
Good question.
one, it's just one by one for me right now. I'll have to wake up in the morning and tell you if I feel good about LSU or not.
Right, Sam. All right, and then thoughts on who the college sports CEO is going to be?
I don't know. They'll screw it up.
Oh yeah, probably Matthew McConaughey.
They'll just absolutely bomb this. And what reason do we have to believe that they won't? So, is that it? We're getting
Well,
more.
we had one final question. This is from Ryan Gafford. Said, I'd like to know what y'all's thoughts on the traditions at A&M, from the best known to as red ass as you can drink the maroon Kool-Aid.
Well, obviously we're Aggies, so my thoughts on Aggie traditions are very positive.
Oh, sure.
That's part of the reason of being an Aggie. Even if you didn't know beforehand, it ingrains the culture of Texas A&M into you. Probably most red ass tradition, I would
Forget.
probably say bonfire.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's an entire semester of building, man.
Yep.
So that's dedication, unlike any other tradition. Most widely known as Midnight Yell, especially with the invention of the SEC network and phones with cameras. Best tradition that I wish we never had was Silver Taps. Best non-sports tradition is easily muster. Ring day is. It's such a fun tradition. Just that everyone is happy everywhere you go, everywhere you look. It's one of the most important days of their lives, and so I love Ring Day. But I love some of the goofy stuff too, like dunking the Yell Leaders in Fish Pond after a win. The Flight of the Pumpkin in the core, for Halloween.
That one's a little on the edge there. I like it. But
Well,
when
of
the
course,
videos
like
circulate every Halloween.
any group of cadets, they somehow manage to screw it up. So we have to have rules on how we can do it and when and where, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It's still entertaining though.
What's your favorite random Aggie tradition?
Favorite random Aggie tradition.
I don't know why I asked that because I don't think I have one.
Well, let me
Oh, you know what? I've got one.
Yeah, go ahead and go give me
And
one. I'll
it's well, it's
think.
an Aggie tradition, and you might also call it a custom. Taking your damn hat off in the MSC.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, and obviously the grass around the MSC too, right? Which I combine those.
Yeah. Spirit of OT. Spirit of OT is a great tradition.
Yeah, no, Spirit of
Got a
O2
good
is
cannon.
that's a that's a good obscure tradition because that one, well, I think one of my favorites is amongst Parsons Mounted Cavalry having the burnt orange poop bucket. That's
Yes.
obscure, but it's a thing.
The burnt orange outhouse.
The burnt orange outhouse, which
Dumb
was the
dogma.
purple outhouse for a while.
Yep.
But, the burnt orange outhouse, the TU frat house.
Century tree.
Century tree's a great tradition.
Yeah, there's a shit, senior boots.
Yeah, senior boots
And
are
there's just
top-notch.
it's so fun to sit here and write off traditions because I'm like, yeah, I love that one too. Yeah, I love that one too. Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Ooh, yeah, I love that one too.
And like I said, if you're an Aggie and you need to go experience each of those at least one time while you're on campus, like just go
Yes.
out and just do them all. I mean,
Well, I don't walk under Century Tree if you're single.
Oh yeah, I'm about to say outside. Yeah, definitely don't do
Go
that.
take a picture.
Yeah. But, oh, that's pretty neat. No. But
The
like, you know,
Liberty Bell, the Liberty Bell on campus.
Liberty Bell's the really, really cool deal.
That's obscure, but really cool.
It's really cool because it is the one for Texas and it's here and it's not in Austin. Get bent.
Get bent. I
I've
love it.
been using that a lot. So
Excellent.
that's the end of the questions. I did want to touch on one more thing because I find it so flippin' hilarious. This is how it panned out. So across England, this was the year of the birds.
Oh,
Okay.
yeah.
Liverpool wins the Premier League, the Live Bird, right? Then you have Crystal Palace goes out and wins the FA Cup, first major trophy ever. Eagles.
It's really impressive.
Really impressive. And they did it over City, which, good on them because City walked away with
That's nuts to me.
zero silverware, which is awesome. Newcastle wins the League Cup over Liverpool. That's fine. But the
Oh, yeah,
Magpies.
Magpies.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
Magpies. And then, of course, last night, Tottenham Hotspur goes out and defeats Manchester United, the Cockerels. It's the year of the bird.
Onana is such a terrible keeper.
I couldn't believe that happened. That was amazing.
Bro,
All
they had
that live.
one shot on goal the entire match and it went
And it
in.
went in because he couldn't parry the damn ball. He couldn't secure it. Like, what a. It was an own goal in reality.
I mean, honestly, it really was. It just.
The way I watched it, I was like, that's an own goal all day.
Bro. I hope Man United extend his contract 10 years.
Here's
He's
the deal.
perfect keeper for them.
This is the worst season in decades for Manchester United, and I could not be happier. I am so sorry, my buddy Scott, if you're listening to the podcast. You know, I love you, and I feel bad for you, but not
Hey,
really.
man, look, that's life, and it's like in the Premier League.
Manchester United's having an A&M season, and that's fine.
Just sucks to suck, man.
Sucks to suck.
That's how life go. But I will say, there is a chance that we can absolutely finish above both Man United and Tottenham. Because you know who we get on Sunday? Ipswich.
Yeah, Nipwich is unfortunately
They should have been relegated about 3 weeks in.
they were not up to snuff this time around. I don't know what they were doing, man. I'm actually really curious to see about the promotion battle coming in.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
I think that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, be sure to follow us at our socials. This is going to be Roy May 15 on X, Junior on Instagram. Be sure to follow Route the Slapper on both, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. Go check out Bach Realty Group. Go check out Shred Dirt Designs, please. I would love for y'all to buy my shirts. They make me happy. Speaking of shirts, we have new Carson Jeffrey merch designed by yours truly that is going to be hitting the store really, really soon. Plus, they will be on sale at Green Hall this weekend as we headline with our buddy Kenny Fiddler kicking it off. And we get to go rock and roll with William Clark Green up there in Arlington. So if you are in Arlington or New Braunfels this weekend, come say hi, enjoy some music, buy some new merch. It'll make me very happy.
And just a quick reminder, I hope everyone has a very safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. however, whenever you can, whether it's in solitude or with others, just remember why we have Memorial Day weekend. It's because of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. And there's the old saying that every veteran at one point signed a blank check for the amount of up to and including their life. And so Memorial Day is just remembering about those who have fallen in battle. But it doesn't have to be completely somber either. My buddies and I talk about this. It's, go have a barbecue, hang out with friends, have a good time, live the life that they weren't able to live. And so I wish you all a very safe and a very, very happy Memorial Day weekend. If you're in town, we've got an event on Monday from 11 to 1 in Veterans Park. Come in the Harvey exit. We're at the Never Forget Garden program. We'll run from 11 to 11:30, and then we'll have hot dogs, chips, water, maybe some games for the kids, just kind of socialize and talk to people in the community.
And weather should be nice, so definitely
Yes.
try to get out there and go enjoy it. I see, yeah. I mean, well,
Absolutely.
Monday, chance of storms, but we'll keep an eye on it.
Yes.
So,
Hopefully after the ceremony, so we should be
yeah.
good. And we got a lot of tents we're going to put up too.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But yeah, we appreciate y'all listening. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. Be sure to share with your friends. Share with your enemies. We don't care. Have fun with
And
it.
turn on your notifications so you never miss a Red Ass podcast.
Yes. Hit that little bell. We will absolutely appreciate it. I am
I
Rob
know
Walker.
Tommy. I didn't know Bell.
And at the end of the that's been A&M this whole flipping weekend. I didn't hear no bell. I'm Rob White. That's Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the ever living hell out of LSU. Get them.